It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I have a very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute.
Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey, it's Tim Kawakami here, 49ers Plus Minus, with my co-host. That's Matthew Barros. We're talking a few hours after the 49ers. Another mystifying loss. I don't know what's the correct word for that. Loss at home to the Seattle Seahawks 2017 when 49ers were up 4, got the ball back with 3:56 right around there left. Could not close out the game. Punt the ball back, goes into the end zone, touchback, and Geno Smith races downfield for the game-winning touchdown with 12 seconds. 49ers cannot do anything. Barros, where are you on this now? Where are we with the 49ers at 5-5 and losing ground in November instead of gaining it?
The 49ers are a 58-year-old boxer with no knockout punch.
Wow.
Nice. To borrow from another weekend sports event, I mean, I just think that there's something missing in that it goes beyond the missing players. Like, no matter who's in there, this team just has no killer instinct like it had last year. They were blowing teams out last year. This year, they cannot keep a lead. They go into the fourth quarter with a lead. They can't keep it. They've lost to all three of their division opponents, and all in the same way after leading to begin the fourth quarter. So, I mean, there's a missing element to this team, and I mean like an elemental element, not missing
non-elemental element. Yes.
It's not just, you know, no George Kittle today or Bosa being absent. Those are contributing to it, but I think it's a deeper issue with this team, and I can't put my finger on what it is, you know, other than Super Bowl hangover, and I don't think the 49ers can either.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to agree with you generally. I'm going to get real specific and make one element. I think the inability to ball consistently has kind of changed them, you know, top to bottom. And that was without Christian McCaffrey, as we know, for the first eight games. And it has been with Christian McCaffrey the last two. And he was at the podium after the game and very as frustrated as you're ever going to see McCaffrey by himself. Like, you know, I missed a run where it could have been the closer. And, you know, I don't feel the same. You know, I don't want to make excuses, but wasn't in training camp, missed the first eight games. We all know the stuff, but he's not been as good. They're not blocking as good. They weren't, you know, churning out the yards with Jordan Mason. You know, the most effective running back of all has been Isaac Grendel. He's the one who's popped off these long runs. We're used to them getting these long runs from somebody, Raheem Mostert or obviously with McCaffrey, Elijah Mitchell. It's just not happening. They're not getting those 60-yard runs that change the entire scope of the game. That's one thing, and that's McCaffrey, and it's everything. And I think the other thing is they just cannot stop someone when they absolutely must stop somebody. And I'm not blaming this on the defense. They played really well to the very end. But then once Seattle got the ball, like I was sitting next to you, Barros. I thought the 49ers were going to lose because they gave the team the ball back, and the Geno Smith, who is not a great quarterback, Seahawks are not a great offense. They were going to figure out how to get the end zone. You just felt that this is not a closing team. This has been a decent yardage team, was not real good and got outgained today, by the way, and did not move the ball great and had penalties. But there's just specific things that you must do to win games that this 49er team does not do. Very specific things.
In the game in Seattle earlier this year, they had two 76-yard plays and then two more plays over 25 yards. Today, their longest play of the game was 22 yards.
Yep.
That's not going to get it done in the NFL. Brock Purdy, let's see, he was 159 passing yards. That's his third lowest total since he became a starter. And I'm including the Eagles game in the playoffs a couple of years ago where he had something like 23 yards.
In about six plays, right?
You know, in about six plays, right. There was just a lack of explosion from the offense. And I thought it was really interesting that, you know, Kyle Shanahan comes in after the game. And by the way, Kyle Shanahan came in lickety-split after this one.
Yep.
Usually we're waiting like a half hour, but he didn't have much to say to the team. Sometimes they're waiting for post-game interviews on the field. None of that today. Mm-hmm. Nobody was interviewing the 49ers after this one. So he was in quickly, and he had just watched the defense give up an 80-yard drive. But Shanahan's point was that he seemed much more critical of the offense. When the defense did have a stop, they had a fourth and one stop. That's rare in the NFL. And the 49ers took over at their own 37. They immediately got a first down from McCaffrey, 11-yard gain. Seemed like, okay, that's it. I mean, one or two more first downs, this game's over. And then they just sputtered. And Shanahan was much more upset over the offense not just closing it out, stepping on the Seahawks' throat, than I think he was over the defense's lapses at the end there.
Yeah, offense was worse over the game. I mean, the offense was not good in this game. We can talk about the penalties, we can talk about whatever, but the offense was not very good. And that's Shanahan's baby. He's going to probably be more critical of the offense than he would be of the defense. But I thought defense was fine, obviously, except for that last drive. And there's two Geno Smith runs. And we know this 49ers defense over the years, whoever their coordinator is, has been vulnerable to the quarterback running. It's just part of what hurts them. I thought it was interesting, and maybe it's just a choice of words, but when Purdy was asked, like, what did Kyle Shanahan tell you guys in the locker room? Standard question. I've asked it myself. I did not ask it this time. Purdy said, well, of course, you know, Kyle said, you know, missed opportunities. And Kyle, you know, he did not excuse himself or whatever the wording was. He included himself in this. I wonder if part of Shanahan was terse. He was snappy, did not have much to say. I have no problem with that. Coach in a tough loss. He's kind of seeing the season evaporate in front of his eyes with a lot on the line, with a lot expected. Another one of these losses. But I wonder if some of Kyle's anger is at himself. He just didn't think he coached very well in that game. There's other games where I'm sure he could have that conclusion. This has not been Kyle Shanahan's greatest offensive coaching job. It's clearly, we're all watching it. There's struggles in the red zone. There's struggles to stay on the field. What did you think of Purdy mentioning Kyle, including himself, or, you know, bringing up that, you know, maybe he's part of this?
Yeah, I mean, it was a team-wide effort. Those last few plays were a bit curious. There was, I think, McCaffrey losing a yard. And then there was the throw to Deebo Samuel across the middle of the field, sailed it. And I think you asked the question, or what were you seeing on that play? Did you see the linebacker sort of looming there? I forget what Purdy's answer was, but he did see him,
and then wasn't a good throw.
Point is that the Seahawks had that snuffed out. And they had a couple of those plays snuffed out. And this was another game where I think Purdy completed 75% of his passes. That's fantastic. You can't ask for any more than that. But again, they were all I almost said the Ravens. The Seahawks were keeping it all in front of them. And, this is a defense that frustrated Purdy and the 49ers last year when Baltimore came in. So, I just wonder at the end of the season whether one of the themes will be that defenses finally figured out a formula for stopping Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan's offense. The over the middle throws aren't there as much as they were. Purdy's holding onto the ball longer than he did last year. Purdy's completion percentage is lower than it was last year, although it's been creeping up in recent games, so we'll have to wait on that. But does not seem as automatic as it was last year. I asked Kyle Shanahan about that on Friday. This is based on something that Purdy said after the Tampa Bay game when he got off to a slow start, and he said he had to remind himself at some point just to be automatic, just to rip it. And Purdy said that at least three or four times this year, you know, about the red zone, et cetera, et cetera. And so I asked Shanahan why he thinks that Purdy keeps saying the same thing. And he gave an answer like, what else is he supposed to say? I mean, that's what all quarterbacks say when they have a rough patch. They just have to be more automatic. But I think it goes beyond that, because the statistics sort of support somebody who is having trouble making decisions, or rather not making decisions as automatically as he was last year. And I can only imagine that that's due to two things. You know, wide receiving core that's been more in flux than it was last year, and defenses that are doing different things to the 49ers. And the 49ers have to figure this out, and I'm not sure that they have.
Yeah, I'll just say, yeah, no running game, as you know, that definitely affects it, right? If you don't, if you're not worried about Christian McCaffrey, the linebacker can drop back and get in the way of that Debo pass. And I do, that was the question. I think he could not throw it directly to Debo because the linebacker was going to be there. But then the play wasn't great, right? The play call wasn't terrific, if that's the case. And secondly, I'll go three things. No Kittle. We'll just point that out. George Kittle's been huge this season. Obviously huge on third down, huge in the red zone. No Ayuk. But they still got enough. Like, they still have players. They should be able to move the ball. And you're right. They're not getting these kind of automatics. The Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy, automatic 15-yard pass. Now, Ayuk has been the guy for most of those times, these automatic gains. Debo, invisible this game, Barros, like invisible. Now, Juwan Jennings was incredible. So some of those plays are just going to Juwan Jennings, but they need those. They need the receiver to get to automatic plays, get open in exactly the way Brock Purdy knows you're going to get open. And that does not happen this season. Some of that's on Purdy. Some of that's on the receivers. Some of that's on Kyle Shanahan. And some of that is definitely because the defenses are playing them. Then you got to adjust. And it has not been. Purdy averaged 5.7 yards per attempt, Barros. So that's a high percentage, but low production. He was getting a lot of, what was that? Third and three, he threw to Jennings for two. Like, what was that? Like, that's really weird in the Shanahan system, right?
Well, they had a whole drive where they kept the ball for, you know, like 12 minutes and gained like 26 yards. Yeah, I mean, that was this game in a nutshell. Yeah.
Very frustrating, I'm sure, for Shanahan. Two challenges that looked, you know, instantly like they were right, and then they turned out to be not right. Just a lot of weird things going on in this game, but it's just the season now. It's who they are. I think Fred Warner said it very starkly, and I quoted him, and I think he's right. He's a leader. He's saying, you know what, this is not who we are, but if we are not doing anything different, then this maybe is who we are. This is what they've been this season. And you were getting on 49ers' nerves last game by asking them, where's the decisive victory? Where's the standard bearer victory? And like, Fred Warner took it well. He was joking with you, but he did mention the Jets game. But that's week one. That wasn't a blowout.
No.
That wasn't this incredible. Like, that was just a solid victory over a lesser team. They have not had one of those stompers. They just haven't. They've had good the win in Seattle was a good win, not a great one. It's a good win. Any road win in the NFL is a good one, but like, they just haven't had that game where you said, this is a Super Bowl level team. This is the team we saw last season. This is the team that we saw two seasons ago. They have not done that. And there are reasons for it. They're just not as good. There are injuries. Yeah. Super Bowl hangover, whatever you want to say. There are real reasons for it. I want to go to we won't need to go super big picture here, but I do want to ask you, if this is a lost season, which it could be very soon, we'll see. Big win in Green Bay, maybe the conversation changes. Losing Green Bay with a great game in Buffalo coming up, things get very dark. Do you think this makes Brock Purdy more necessary to sign to a long-term contract, or less necessary to sign to a long-term contract, Matt Barros?
I think it'll make their decision more difficult because, I mean, we're talking about a Super Bowl hangover. I think that this team looks and feels a lot like the Eagles did last year. Eagles just could not ever get it going. And every time it looked like they were getting it going, it fell apart, including December 2 when the 49ers went in and had one of those stompers. But the one exception to, I mean, it would be a really good conversation to have about, you know, the NFL going to 17 games and whether teams that go deep into the playoffs, go to the Super Bowl, can really kind of do it the next season. Because I think that there is plenty of evidence of teams sort of falling apart.
There is one example of a team that's not.
the team that's kind of ruining my hypotheses is the Kansas City Chiefs. They also happen, Tim, to have the greatest quarterback in the NFL right now. So, I mean, I don't think it changes it. I think it's going to make it more difficult on the outside, obviously. Obviously, if Brock Purdy had a great season and the 49ers won the Super Bowl, it would be an easy decision. I think the 49ers make the same decision in that they extend Brock Purdy. The outside chatter is going to be more cacophonous because it's clear that Purdy is not a Patrick Mahomes type quarterback. That and maybe there's only one Patrick Mahomes type quarterback in the NFL right now. But I mean, what I said earlier about teams, you know, playing more man coverage, the Seahawks definitely were doing that today, and the 49ers having trouble finding the answers. It's a pretty big question mark, I think, if it continues down this path. That means that, you know, defenses are not going to, you know, stop doing what they're doing this year. That's going to become even more prevalent. So until you figure out a way to thwart that, which the 49ers haven't done, it's going to be a perennial issue.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of zig a little bit on this and maybe previewing a column I'm thinking about writing later this week. I think it makes it more important to keep them. And maybe the price goes down. Maybe we're not talking 60, talking 50s, you know, whatever. The Jalen Hurts, I think, is like 49. Make the Jalen Hurts thing. Like, Jalen Hurts is not the best quarterback in the NFL. He is not going to be an MVP, probably. But he's going to be an important player on your team for many, many years at the most important position. And I think that's what Purdy is. Dak Prescott level, maybe a little better. You know, Kirk Cousins level, maybe right at Kirk Cousins. But you got to have them. This, you know, if you talk about a team that has some aging players and an aging system, maybe even, who knows how much longer Chris McCaffrey is going to be there? Who knows how much longer Debo Samuel is going to be there? Who knows how much longer Trent Williams is going to be there? George Kittle, or there or at the top of their game. My Lord, you need a quarterback. Like, you don't have a quarterback with that system. I don't know what you have anymore. So maybe there's a ceiling on Brock Purdy. Probably is. And maybe he's not going to be a guy who can lift you by himself in playoff games, although a time or two he probably can. I just think it makes it more important. Again, the number might be lower, but I think the significance of Brock Purdy as a 24-year-old who has operated at a high level and who is going to get better theoretically, or at least be at least this good for 10 more years, is even more important as you see some of the atrophying around the team. You see what I'm saying on Barris? Would you give some credence to that?
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Left 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, but I don't see how you can reconcile those two thoughts, that he's more important and they're going to give him $49 million. you know, the agent.
Well, no, I mean, listen, the price is going to be the price.
Is going to be the price.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, Jalen Hurts did not get the number one contract in football. He did not. I've pinned Purdy to Hurts before. They're young guys, great guys, fit the system, leadership guys, and you don't have to kill the whole system, the whole payroll situation to bring him back. We'll see. I mean, again, that agent's going to ask for more than that, and there probably will be teams telling, okay, wait another year or two and we'll give it to you. I'm saying they got to do it. They have to do it, because if they don't have him, who's your starting quarterback next year, Barrows? I mean, Sam Darnold at $50 million himself, right? What, Sam Darnold's not signing cheap. You know, go get Tua. You know, it's a tough place to be. It's a tough place to be if you do not have one of those guys, and he's young. So, you know, yeah, maybe I'm saying it too low. Maybe it's mid-50s. I would not pay him 60-something. You know, he's not Joe Burrow. He's not Justin Herbert. He's proving himself to be a layer behind that. But, man, with this team, if they had younger stars, if they had more, like, okay, operational, we can just do it, and the quarterback's great, but we can do it with a moderate to good quarterback, a little different. That's what they were with Jimmy, frankly, right? That's what they were with Jimmy. I don't think they're there with Brock Purdy. My God, I'm writing my whole column here. I'm going to have to go back and listen to this conversation again and then just write as a column, because I'm going to forget what I said. But I really do believe this. I mean, I was thinking about that on my drive home. As you know, it is not a short one. It's like, God, I think this makes Purdy even more important to the 49ers. We can move off of this, but go ahead.
What they need to do is do what they did with Jimmy Garoppolo in February of 2018, which was very quickly do a deal. Because for a few weeks, Jimmy Garoppolo was the highest paid player in all of the NFL. And then you blinked and he was at number 11 because everybody jumped him. I just don't see how you can get any sort of discount. I mean, like you said, the price is going to be what it is. And what it is right now is, you know, in the 60s.
Yeah, I don't think it has to be on top of that. We'll see. Maybe it does that, because that's quarterbacks are always on. I don't think he's going to have to be on top of that, because Burrow, you know, the whole Burrow, Lamar, you know, that whole rung was just that's true.
That's true. But I mean, I think the 49ers felt the same way about Brandon Ayuk. Great, great wide receiver. Our number one wide receiver. Is he as good as Chase? Is he as good as Justin Jefferson? No, he's on the next tier. But, you know, and they tried to get that deal done early, and they tried to get it done at a number that they thought was just perfect for Brandon Ayuk, and it did not work at all.
Good point.
They don't – I mean, imagine if they got into another – protracted contract dispute, this time with Brock Purdy, the quarterback. That would be disastrous. I think they're going to have to capitulate on whatever the number is initially, or it's just slightly below that.
I just don't think it's going to be 60. It's not going to, you know, it's not, cause if Burrow's 60, I don't think they go, okay, it's got to be 61. That I would not do. But we'll see. Okay, that was me taking this off into a distant thing. Can they afford a loss in Green Bay? Can they possibly survive that?
Yeah, because they can't. Everybody's still bunched together.
Oh, not that. Look at the standings. Look at the not that bunched. Not that.
Yeah. Well, the Cardinals are one game ahead of them in the NFC West.
Yeah.
So that's going to be the way that the 49ers get in, if they do get in. It's not going to be a wild card. It's going to be winning the division, which means that, you know, maybe one more loss they can afford. Two more losses. I don't know what it is, but they're not going to be mathematically eliminated from this thing for a while. I mean, they were lights out last year. They swept the division until the very last game against the Rams, which was a nothing of a game. And yet they still didn't clinch the NFC West until December 17. My point being that it's going to be all sorts of, well, they're not mathematically eliminated. They still have a chance. There's going to be a lot of that over the next month. And I mean, I was just looking at NFL Network, and they have the seeding, and then they also have, you know, what the chances are. And they still have the 49ers as, you know, a better chance than the Seahawks, who are ahead of them, a better chance than the Rams, who are ahead of them. My point being that people out there still think that the 49ers are the most talented of this bunch, and they are. And, you know, we keep waiting for that talent to kind of show itself. We keep waiting for the 2023 49ers to show up, and they just haven't yet. And, you know, at some point you're right. I mean, the waiting is going to be over, and they are what they are. But I still think they technically still have a chance, probably plenty of chances to assert themselves.
They get to 10-7, which is five. Was that 5-3? Whatever. What is it? 5-2. Yeah, 5-2. They got a shot, but the tiebreakers look really bad, Barros. They look bad. And if you lose to Green Bay, and then you've got a back-to-back going to Buffalo playing that team, you're coming out of 5-7. And I don't know that they could survive 5-7. So that's why I think Green Bay, and put in some tiebreakers. I just realized I did the standings wrong in my column. I was just looking at it, that worried look on my face. Things start to blur at some point. You know this, Barrow, so you're just looking at stuff as you're writing, and you go, what is that? Where are they in the standings? So if you see an error in my column, we will fix it soon about how many games they are behind Arizona. But they lose to Green Bay. That's one of the teams that is ahead of them in the wild card. They will drop to two games behind the Green Bay Packers with a head-to-head loss. And there are other teams coming up behind them. Then they've got Buffalo, which they will probably lose. And who knows if Bosa is going to play in either one of those games. You're 5-7, Barros. They're 5-7. They're done. Would you say that? Or you?
Yeah, they're 5-7. They're done. They're done. And I don't see them going 2-0 in these next two games either.
I think they got to beat the Packers in order to stay afloat to get to 6-6.
Yeah.
Because if they're 5-6 going to Buffalo, this might be a really, really long period where they're not in it anymore. And you know, we just haven't had that with the 49ers since 2020 when everybody got hurt. And then it was COVID, and we didn't even see it because they were in Arizona. So this could be something like that, unless they be. Now, listen, they're a pissed off team, right? They are pissed off. I know Shanahan's pissed off. I certainly felt a pissed off vibe on that team. They could play really well in Green Bay. Again, we have not seen it, but they could, and it will take a good game. Might not take a great game. I mean, Packers should have lost to the Bears. They're beatable, but they're talented. They can run the ball. They got some defense. Jordan in Love, we know, can throw the ball and also can throw to the wrong team. But I do think they must win that game. Not mathematically, but I just think the way this schedule sets up, where the 49ers' heads are right now, what they need, who they need to get past, who they can't let get ahead of them even further, they got to beat the Packers. And maybe we'll see their best game. Maybe we'll. I will not be there for it. I am not going to Green Bay. Matt Barros will be going to Green Bay, so you can tell us all about it. I will be watching on TV, but I do think this is a game for their lives. But they faced this before in previous Shanahan years when they started 3-5 in 2021 and turned it around. I just don't feel that with this team. Of course, we didn't feel that about that team either. I should point that out. We did not feel that about that team. You never know, but a lot of these guys were a lot younger then, a lot less banged up, and they are limping into this one.
Yeah, and they hit the right formula, too. I mean, they started playing Debo more at running back, and they gave Debo the ball, and that was enough. And they got momentum, and they kept it. You said Shanahan's pissed off. This team in previous years, when they've gotten pissed off, they've been really good.
Yep.
They were pissed off coming out of the bye last year. They went to Jacksonville. Jacksonville was good last year at that point of the season. And they were coming off their bye, and the 49ers just went in and they just kicked their asses. They were pissed off going into Philadelphia last year. You know, they wanted revenge for the NFC Championship game, and they just, you know, blew the doors off of the Eagles. This year they get pissed off and, you know, they go up by 10. And then all of a sudden they're down by 3. I mean, it doesn't last with this team. I just don't feel the electricity, the energy. I don't know if it's age. I don't know if it's hangover. But it's just a lack of something that this team has. It's I'm going to give you another TV analogy. It's like when Logan Roy tells his eldest son, "You're not a killer." these guys have no killer instinct this year. It's just gone. And they've got to get it back somehow.
They are unserious people. Unserious.
There you go.
Although they were pretty serious. Oh my God, I'm missing a missed field goal in Cincinnati Chargers. We got a lot of missed field goals today, Barrows. A lot of key missed field goals. Jim Harbaugh, my guy, get the ball
this
back.
This is indoors too, on turf. Indoor,
yeah, people are missing late clutch field goals. My good. And McPherson's good too. That's why this is not an automatic game. So it's why they play the football.
Well, no real gas today from the 49ers.
Yeah.
That's other than part of Cowing.
Oh, I mean, sorry. God, did I say Jacob Cowing? I made another mistake. It was Jordan Mason who had the kickoff.
Oh, yeah. You got to go back into that column, man.
Oh, my God.
I'm doing repair work on that.
I'm realizing my mistakes right away. All right. Maybe it was fixed. I'll go back and look. I hate that's the look you hate to go back in the column to see if your mistakes were fixed or not. But all right. I don't want to go through any more mistakes. I don't want to realize them. I
think we have to have a midweek podcast this week. Cool. I mean, we haven't talked about, you know, Matt and Tim being absolutely correct on needing to trade for a defensive end. Because we kept saying, what if Bosa gets hurt? What are they going to do? Well, now you're in that scenario.
They are in some trouble there, unless there's a miraculous recovery. And Nick Bosa did not sound like he was expecting one, and probably not going to, in my sense, is like likely not to play against Green Bay, because he's going to make it worse. You know, he made one worse. He got another injury to another hip by favoring the other hip. So sit him out against Green Bay, see what happens. These are what happens to teams. They get hurt. Players get hurt, as we've discussed.
We have to have a separate podcast about how genius we were to say this.
I'm not in a genius mode right now because I realize how much I fucked up the column. So let's get out of here. We will talk to you guys later this week. That's the show for today.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.